The New York Times raves that the original Immersive Van Gogh exhibit is a must-see lavish artistic festival. Book your tickets now at VanGoghVegas.com. VanGoghVegas.com.
It's Open Road Radio, celebrating 25 years of motorcycle talk radio. Every Monday night, right here at 6 p.m. on KSHP Radio, join industry veterans Gina Woods and Shannon Danslin and Penny FXR to talk motorcycle information, education, and entertainment. Powered by Full Throttle Law Firm, Monday nights at 6 p.m. right here on AM 1400. You can also check out their Facebook Live show at Open Road Radio on Facebook.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program.
From the South Point Studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
And I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
Once you've satisfied your hunger, get ready for more of the hottest casino games in Vegas. Our 24-hour, 30-table, non-smoking poker room proudly hosts all the most popular poker games with a variety of betting limits. Visit the poker room for a schedule of daily tournaments. Whether you're going to hold 'em or fold 'em, the best place for poker is at South Point Casino. You'll notice that our craps tables are usually the loudest in the casino. If you've never played, join one of our free craps lessons to find out what makes this game so exciting. Check with the craps dealer for schedules and give it a roll. Bingo is also an exciting way to spend your time. We offer 7 sessions of bingo every day.
Bingo!
And each session includes a cash ball jackpot, 12 bingo games, a progressive double action game, and a $10,000 bonus coverall. Electronic units are available. If you haven't played bingo with us, give it a try today. Guests can also get in on the action at our one-of-a-kind race and sports books. 2 separate rooms designed to maximize your experience and comfort. Our sports book, with over 400 seats, puts you right in the middle of the action, 24 hours a day.
I'm former Major League pitcher Andy Pettit. I teamed up with Tunnel to Towers after seeing their life-changing work with military and first responder families. Now we're expanding our mission to help veterans struggling with homelessness. We want to help them rebuild their lives not only by giving them a home, but by providing the services they need. Please join me in donating at T2T.org.
My name is Corporal David Marshall. I served with the 84th Infantry Division and fought in the Battle of the Bulge.
At 98 years old, he's a strong supporter of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. America should make a promise to all our heroes to take care of their families. If you're catastrophically injured, that we're going to take care of you.
They need the support. They need the help. They can't do it alone.
Go to T2T.org. Thank you, and God bless America.
Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. Our closing weekend will feature a special holiday racing program on Thursday, the 4th of July. Plus, our meets marquee race, the Great Lady Umpstakes, on Saturday, July 6th. We'll also have our on-track handicapping contest. You could win a seat to the NHC in Las Vegas. Plus, we'll add $10,000 to the Pick 6 pool on Saturday afternoon if there's not a carryover. It's daytime racing at Los Alamitos.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live
live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we start a long, big Independence Day celebration week of racing. Right here from your gaming and fireworks capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, and right here at the South Point Studios on the South Point Studios streaming video network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. We come to you live and direct from this gaming capital here at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this town is going to be packed. It's going to be rocking and rolling. The pool areas will be certainly filled up, and the skies will be full of fireworks on tomorrow night. It's going to be one celebration on this 4th of July holiday week here from Las Vegas, Nevada, celebrating our independence and our Independence Day. We welcome you to the show as we ramp up this week of holiday racing across the country, looking at racing Las Vegas style here in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show for today. And of course, all of you who watch us and listen to us on the different platforms, like our local radio station, our anchor station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, I know there's a lot of you running around town this morning because when I came into the show this morning, the traffic was a little bit heavier than it normally is at this time of the morning here. So you're out and about getting ready for the big maybe barbecues, etc. for tomorrow. In any case, we welcome you listening as well, and as well as our streaming on our websites, racedaylasvegas.com.vegas.world.global. You got us there. You got us archived there as well, streaming. And, of course, your phones, your devices, your iPhones or your Androids, with the phone apps. The apps, of course, the KSHP app will get you to listen to our show, and the YouTube app, of course, will get you to see and hear us as well. Both apps available for your iPhones and your Androids and anywhere else you get your podcasting, we're there as well. So welcome to the show as we start ramping up for the big holiday. I can tell you this, from all accounts here early, this is going to be a record weekend as far as attendance here in Las Vegas. People are coming out. Seems that with the holiday landing on Thursday, everybody is starting to roll up here today, etc., for a big four-day weekend holiday for the 4th of July, starting it out with the holiday and then winding it up on Sunday, of course, as well. Record travel across the country as well. We know that. And as far as the weather around the country, all I can tell you is we're going to be into a lot of extreme heat, okay? A lot of extreme heat. We're going to start out by telling you what it's going to be like here in Las Vegas. Going to be sunny, no doubt about it. There's no clouds. There's no storms coming in, except maybe, and this is a maybe, if we get the monsoon conditions later on in the day someday, but it's not predicted to be. Here's the deal. It's 88 degrees right now outside, 88 degrees. We are going to get up to 114 degrees today here in Las Vegas. And this heat will continue to pursue throughout the entire 4th of July weekend. On Saturday, they say we might top off at 117. And on Sunday, they say we might top off at 118. Now, you know what I'm going to tell you. You got to stay hydrated. We've got the excessive heat warnings out there. Keep the kids and the pets inside. Check on the elderly and anybody else who has some difficulty with hot weather, okay? It's really that simple. You have to stay hydrated. You can't wait until you think you need to drink. You have to keep a lot of water around and just stay drinking water, etc., to stay hydrated. All right, now that's here for Las Vegas. So if you're planning this morning, if you're packing bags, getting ready to come up here for the big four-day holiday, that's going to be the weather here. So you don't have to worry about bringing an overcoat, that's for sure. Maybe a change of bathing suits, etc. But around the country today, Phoenix, Arizona is actually going to be 1 degree less than we are. We're usually below them. Phoenix is usually the hottest place in the nation, but today is going to top out at 113. Lubbock, Texas is at 100. Dallas will be 101. Oklahoma City, 101. You can see that the heat is making its way across the country. So keep that in mind for the weekend. We want you to go out and enjoy yourself, especially go to the races, etc. Come on here to Las Vegas, Nevada. Spend some time indoors in the casino and the restaurants and certainly the shows as well. But that's going to be the layout for this weekend. Excessive heat all over the place. Stay hydrated. Okay, enough on that. As far as this week coming up, over the course of the week, we will have Ellis Park that will start tomorrow. You know, the Churchill Downs closed on Sunday with a Sunday card. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But Churchill Downs closed now with a record meet, I might add. So Ellis Park will open tomorrow on 4th of July. And, of course, as you know, we're on the cusp of Colonial Downs, Saratoga, and Del Mar throughout this month as opening there as well. But we have a bevy of big stakes races coming up over this next 4 days. For example, tomorrow on the 4th of July, there will be 4 stakes races. On the Friday the 5th, there will be 8 stakes races. On Saturday, 29 stakes races across the country. And on Sunday, another dozen. That adds up to 53 stakes races from tomorrow through Sunday. We're going to try to get you set up and kind of get you settled for all of those around the country. We got several derbies, several oaks, and, of course, several big handicap races like the Cornhusker at Prairie Meadows, and, of course, the two big races on the turf at Belmont at Aqueduct, the Belmont Derby Invitational and the Belmont Oaks Invitational. So there's a lot to cover on the shows, that's for sure. Of the notes coming up for a little bit news out there, I know we've been getting a lot of feedback on X, the posts on X, for the announcement of the New York Racing Association establishing winter racing for 2026. Now, I know it's a couple of years away, but here's the deal. They are planning on running 100% synthetic racing on New York Racing Association when they get Belmont Park done. And the inner track there at Belmont Park will now be the Tapita brand of synthetic track. They'll be running on Tapita in the wintertime exclusively, not on the dirt, not on the turf, exclusively on Tapita when they get that done at Belmont Park in 2026. Winter racing in New York will be strictly on synthetic racing at Belmont Park. And all I can tell you is there's been a lot of feedback by a lot of gamblers. I know Jonathan Hardoon would have a lot to say about that. As a matter of fact, Jonathan will not be with us today. He returns with us tomorrow. Everything is fine with Jonathan, but he won't be with us today. So we have Rich Eng and John Lindo going to help us out on the show, setting up for the weekend, that's for sure. And I'm sure that Jonathan has a thought or two about what the NYRA announced. Tapita racing in the wintertime, all Tapita starting in 2026. Now, you got a couple of years to complain about that if you want to. As far as Churchill Downs, as we said, Churchill Downs closed on Sunday. Had a hell of a day of racing on closing day Sunday at Churchill Downs. The stakes races with all the closing mandatories there. The debutante for the two-year-old fillies was won by Vodka with a Twist, trained by Phil D'Amato. Phil D'Amato sent out Vodka with a Twist to win the debutante with Flavian Pratt aboard, paying $4.62. So there she was, finished second, and Fortuna Mia finished third. That and the debutante, remember, that's for two-year-old fillies. That was on Sunday, but we know that this horse, this filly, likes the going on the main track at Churchill Downs, where, of course, the Kentucky Oaks will be run next year on the first Friday in May. Keep that in mind. The Maxfield Stakes was won by Raging Torrent, was trained by Doug O'Neill. So we had a couple of California trainers winning the first couple of stakes races on Sunday at Churchill Downs. Raging Torrent with Antonio Frasu paid $4.16. So both California horses were bet down as favorites and won their respective stakes races. Otto the Conqueror finished second. World Record was third in the Maxfield. Then we got to the Anchorage Stakes, and that one, Walk-A-Thon, Walkathon was the winner there. Brian Hernandez aboard for his second win of the day for Ian Wilkes, paying $8.10, outrunning Forever After All and Heavenly Sunday in the Bassford Manor. This is for the two-year-olds. Remember, debutante for the two-year-old fillies. The Bassford Manor was for the two-year-olds. The winner there was Politically Correct, who won with panache. I could tell you that right now. Politically Correct with Jose Ortiz aboard for Chris Davis. Paid $16.62, but looked great winning that race. It was Ortiz's second win of the day, and Politically Correct certainly likes that track. Keep that in mind for the first Saturday in May next year for the Derby. Finishing second was Smokin' Wicked, a big long shot. Ivan the Great was third. In the Hanshin Stakes, the winner there was Cagliostro, a Sherry DeVoe trainee. Won and paid $10.40, giving Flavian Pratt his second win of the day. Finishing second was Tumarumba, and third was Raise Cane. And those were the stakes races on Sunday at Churchill Downs. Of course, the pick six had a mandatory payoff. The pick six paid $131,621.84. The payoff and the pick six at Churchill Downs closing day. The late pick five, that started out with a $97.96 winner in the seventh race, coupled with $8.10, $16.62, $10.44, and then $55.04 winner in the last race. If you rattle them together, the pick five paid $131,192.51. Paid a little more than the pick six. Obviously, the pick six was a 20-cent base bet. The pick five, a 50-cent base bet. But those are life-changing payoffs on closing day at Churchill Downs for the lucky winners there. All right, as far as the standings are concerned, simply put, standings at are closed with Tyler Gaffleone and Jose tying for the lead in the jockey standings with 45 wins apiece. Now, remember, Ortiz had to have a couple of wins on Sunday to tie Gaffleone. So Gaffleone and Ortiz share the title with 45 wins at the Churchill Downs recently concluded meet. This was, for Gaffleone, it was his 12th Churchill Downs title. For Jose Ortiz, obviously his first Churchill Downs title. And the Churchill Downs spring meet set a handle record. $708.3 million was handled there, up 15.2%. From 2022. Remember, you can't really compare it to 2023 because that's when they had, remember, all of those breakdowns, and they went to Ellis Park early. They didn't complete the meet there. Remember that last year? So comparing to 2022, the full meet against the full meet was up 15.2%. And the purse values, by the way, the purses were up 14.4%. Wow. Something really good there. Closing day at Churchill Downs. Was a big spring meet there. A couple of other notes. Greg Foley and James Lawrence, two trainers, got positives for their horses, so they got a suspension from HISA. HISA tagged Greg Foley and James Lawrence for a positives of metformin. Metformin was the positive drug. That's the diabetic drug, I think, that these trainers are having some difficulties with, but they got tagged for that. We'll wait and see what the ramifications will be for George Foley and James Lawrence. Raylu Gutierrez, who's been riding in the Midwest, etc., is going to ride in Southern California. He's getting there in time to ride the Great Lady M Stakes aboard Daddy's Ruby, and he will be riding at Del Mar. So Raylu Gutierrez will be heading on out down to Southern California for racing there. Other notes, Just Steel. You remember, had a condylar fracture that was sustained in the Preakness. Believe it or not, he is doing well. They say he's sound now, and they're planning to return this horse to racing this fall if everything continues to go well. Just Steel, off a condylar fracture, now going to be back in competition, possibly by this fall. As far as over the weekend, the buyer speed figures, King's Barnes winning the Stephen Foster, got 100 buyer. Ottoman Fleet winning the Wise Dan at the Churchill, got 100 buyer. But the highest buyer of the weekend came with Philo de Ariana, Velo de Ariana that won the Highlander Stakes at Woodbine, got a 101 buyer. So we'll keep an eye on that, that's for sure. All right, we got a lot to cover on the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to our first break. When I come back, I'll wrap up a couple of more results from Sunday, and then we'll get started with our handicappers today. Rich Eng and John Linda will be with us as well. We're just starting to build for the big Independence Day holiday week of racing right here from Las Vegas, Nevada. We will be right back.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world. Our gaming amenities include over 60 table games and over 2,600 of the most popular slot and video poker machines. We have penny slots, including the popular Buffalo games, and real machines like Wheel of Fortune, Triple Sevens, and Megabucks. If you prefer video poker, try Deuces Wild, Double Double Bonus, or a variety of multi-denomination games. Or try your hand at one of the most popular casino table games in the world, Blackjack. Don't let the game intimidate you. Blackjack, also known as 21, is both easy and fun. And our dealers are always happy to assist. And the best part? Blackjack always pays 3-2. Next, check out the roulette tables. Roulette is one of the easiest casino games to learn. And so much fun to play. It's a favorite of both beginners and seasoned players. In addition to blackjack and roulette, our casino pit features over 60 popular table games like Baccarat, Pai Gow Poker, Three Card Poker, Ultimate Texas Hold'em, and Mississippi Stud. So get out of your room and come join in the fun.
Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. Our closing weekend will feature a special holiday racing program on Thursday, the 4th of July. Plus, our meets marquee race, the Great Lady M Stakes, on Saturday, July 6th. We'll also have our on-track handicapping contest. You could win a seat to the NHC in Las Vegas. Plus, we'll add $10,000 to the Pick Six pool on Saturday afternoon if there's not a carryover. It's daytime racing at Los Alamitos.
All right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. Going to wrap up a little bit more of the results from Sunday. Sunday at Los Alamitos, pick six paid $808.40. That's a base bet of a $2 base bet. So you know there are a lot of favorites that happened at Los Alamitos on Sunday. As a matter of fact, the highest priced winner of the day of the eight races paid $8.80. That was the third race winner there. We want to thank Bob Mazursky for a winner in the fifth race. Super enticing, paid $3.40, was bet down from 5-2, but was a winner there. And we want to thank Rich Eng as well. Richie gave us the winner in the seventh race on Sunday. Uncle Reg, remember? Uncle Reg, I should say, Baltus trainee, gave Umberto Rispoli a second win of the day. Uncle Reg paid $4 even, bet down from 9-5. So we got a couple of winners there at Los Al from our handicappers on Sunday. You can't take what they won't give, and that's all they were given on Sunday out at Los Alamitos. At Belmont at Aqueduct, the pick six paid $37,906. And a quick look at what's going on at Aqueduct as far as leading jockeys and trainers. The leading jockey right now at Belmont at Aqueduct is Manuel Franco. He's got 34 wins. Ired Ortiz Jr. second with 23. Flavian Pratt. Having a good meet there at Belmont at Aqueduct. He's in third with 20 wins. As far as the top three trainers at Belmont at the Big A, Chad Brown, takes the lead with 23 wins. Linda Rice is second with 20, and Richard Dutrow, which had, I believe, a couple of winners on Sunday. Anyhow, at least one winner. He's in third with 11. And as far as the leading owners at Belmont, at Aqueduct, the Clarovich stable with 9 wins leads that way there at New York at Aqueduct. All right. And as far as our other handicappers are concerned, Mr. Jonathan Ardoon gave us a horse that, again, ran second Sunday as well at Gulfstream. So he's been right there, right around, you know, there with all of his picks, that's for sure. Hey, let's get started with the menu of racetracks available today in the racebook, simulcast centers and racetracks around the country. We remind you the first post times we broadcast on this menu each and every day reflect that at the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas. These will be the first post times that roll out in our racebooks today, especially the one right here behind me at the South Point. So if you're listening in the Pacific time zone, no problem. These will be your first post times. Everybody else listening around the world on other time zones, adjust to the Pacific time zone from the one you're in to be right on the button so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay? Here we go. Here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has 8 races. Their first post time is 9:30. 9:30 today at Delaware Park. And next up comes Belterra Park. Now, Belterra Park has a super high five carryover of $1,125. That's in the super high five carryover there, Belterra. First post time there for 8 races is set at 9:35. 9:35 at Belterra. Parks Racing. They've got 10 races today. Their pick five jackpot carryover, $254,865. On Parks Racing, pick five jackpot carryover. First post time for their 10 races today at Parks is set at 9:40. 9:40 there. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 9 races today. Horseshoe Indianapolis has a first post time of 11:10. 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis today. Next comes Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has 8 races. Their first post time at Presque Isle is at 12 high noon. 12 noon is post time for Presque Isle Downs and their 8 race card. Canterbury Park is next. They have 10 races. The first 3 races will be quarter horses, and the last 7 will be thoroughbreds. 10 races overall at Canterbury Park. First post time at Canterbury Park is set at 2 p.m., 2 o'clock this afternoon. Prairie Meadows, getting ready for a big weekend of a lot of stakes races there, Prairie Meadows. Prairie Meadows today has 10 races. Their first 3 races will be quarter horses, and then they'll have 7 thoroughbreds thereafter for their 10 race card. Now, Prairie Meadows has a pick 5 jackpot carryover, $21,277. That's their pick 5 carryover. Jackpot carryover, $21,277. At Prairie Meadows today. And again, first post time is at 2 p.m. 2 p.m. at Prairie Meadows as well. Louisiana Downs has 7 races. Louisiana Downs has a first post time of 2:05. They have a pick 6 jackpot carryover. A good one, too. $136,176. $136,176 in the pick 6 jackpot carryover at Louisiana Downs. 7 races, 2:05 first post. Then we go to Penn National. Super high five jackpot carryover there, $12,914. 7 races today at Penn Nat, and first post time is 2:45. And then we have Emerald Downs wrapping up the menu for today. Emerald Downs has a first post time today of 8 races set at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. at Emerald Downs for today. All righty. Well, it's time to let's go to Rich Ang standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, I got to tell you, this is like the calm before the storm, because starting tomorrow, 4th of July, and going right through Sunday, we got a bevy of stakes races all over the country. Several derbies, several oaks. We got the Cornhusker, which is a race big in history in the Midwest. That's for sure. And actually the Plain States, but nevertheless, big race that has a lot of history behind it. It used to be run at Exarban, but that is no longer. That racetrack went by the wayside of Bay Meadows, Golden Gate, and Hollywood Park, etc. So what we have is we got the Cornhusker now at the Prairie Meadows, and of course the two big invitational grass races at Belmont, the Belmont Derby and the Belmont Oaks. So we got a lot going on this weekend, that's for sure, around the country. And some horses that we were used to seeing during the Triple Crown run are coming back and running in some of those races over the weekend, the big four-day weekend, I should say. And, of course, we always have, baseball, and I don't know, we're in July already, and everybody's kind of jonesing for a little bit of football and wondering what they're going to do for college and pro football. What say you?
Well, everything you say is absolutely right. The one thing I'm looking at for the stakes race this weekend, Ralph, is field size, because as you well know, a lot of these tracks are struggling with field size, and when you have nearly 60 stakes races over a course of a week, a holiday week like we have coming up, I'm real concerned about the field size and depth and how many horses are going to be in each one of these stakes races. I'll be keeping an eye on that. As far as betting things that are, outside of horse racing during the summer, baseball is the main play, but I'm keeping an eye on especially the National Basketball Association with all the free agency moves, and the same is happening in the National Hockey League. Free agents are going all over the map to different teams, and the NFL, you just got to keep an eye on things as they progress toward the training camp. I'm probably not going to get too invested in the NFL until I see a couple of exhibition games and see how some of these teams start looking. So it's still fun. There's always a lot of work, even in a, in quote, slow period.
Well, it's because with both college football now, with the new rules they have there, and with the NFL, there's so many personnel changes from some head coaches that were fired, and you got new head coaches, and you got a lot of different players in some key spots that have moved around so far. And so you have to kind of evaluate how they fit into the system, and will they be better than their record last year, or will they be worse than their record is last year? You got to put all that in place by the time you get ready to start the football season, because just like big racing days, when the races come up and start, you don't have time to catch up with the preliminary handicapping you need, because you need the final handicapping there. And just like the stock market, when the bell rings, you better be ready to go with what stocks you wanna buy from your early studying on that too. So that makes all the sense in the world to do some of that during this time that we have for the football seasons, that's for sure. And we're right in the middle of baseball. We're going to have the All-Star game coming up pretty soon, right in the middle of the baseball season.
Yeah, there's two angles that I take a look at, Ralph, just to compliment what you were just talking about. One is in professional sports, when I mentioned the NFL, NBA, NHL. One thing that's a little underestimated is when you add and subtract players is what I call team chemistry, because obviously when you take away a lot of players, like for example the Vegas Golden Knights, on social media, if people are following some of the free agent moves, the Knights have lost something like 7 or 8 unrestricted free agents that have left the team from last year, so they're going to look completely different going into the next season. And, with college football and later on college basketball, the NIL, the name, image, and likeness rules, have really allowed the college athletes to switch schools almost on whim, depending on what kind of money, what kind of, in quote, contracts they can get, how much reciprocation they get from the colleges. So there is so much movement. But chemistry is important. Not only talent, you need chemistry to win.
Well, not only that, but, we're just looking at our local team here, the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, we don't even know yet who's going to be our number one quarterback, and I think that's an important position.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that, who's going to start, whether it's Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. I think, quite frankly, both are about the same, and I would just label them as average. I think the quarterback play, when we saw the end of last year, how the Raiders were playing under the new coach, and they were running the football a lot. So in a system like that, where the quarterback is not expected to not have to win the game, basically not lose the game, I think the Raiders' style of play is going to be a lot different than the Al Davis heydays, where he used to throw the ball vertical. Mm-hmm. The vertical game used to be, 30, 50-yard passes down the field. I think the Raiders are going to be more like a turtle or a tortoise. They're going to try to run the football and not expect the quarterback to have to throw the ball 50 times.
And that position has changed from our top running back as well. So we've got, spring training is going to be a lot of, a lot of looking and seeing who's the best to fit those slots that have been vacated, that's for sure. But as we move through this summertime with this excessive heat we got out there, well, it's hamburger, hot dogs, a cold drink or two, and certainly a little baseball, that's for sure. And a lot of horse racing going on this weekend. As I said, between tomorrow and Sunday, there will be 53 stakes races run across the nation from 4th of July tomorrow to Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of fun watching these horses and these races for sure at all the racetracks around the country, setting the table before we finally get to, from the beach to the spa with racing breakfast, lunch, and dinner with Del Mar and Saratoga. But I know it's a light day of racing as far as the main tracks are concerned around the country, but I know you keep looking around and trying to pick a horse or two, so do you have anything for us today?
Yeah, I've got two picks, and before I give the picks, if I could just take 60 seconds to make an editorial comment about what you talked about at Belmont Park and what Naira's doing
with the
surface, because I know you're going to get a lot of feedback. You probably got some already. Jonathan, I'm sure, is going to be on the soapbox tomorrow if he's back on the show, but I'm going to be in the minority, Ralph. I really think that they're actually making a good decision, not a bad decision, to go to Tapita for the 3 months in the wintertime, and I think the key is take a look at the tracks that are basically full-time with the Tapita now. You got Turfway Park in the winter. It's been very effective there. They have huge field sizes and really competitive horse racing. You got Woodbine now that has a good product up in Canada. You got Presque Isle Downs. So, there's a handful of tracks that have it already. Gulfstream uses it as the mainly started out as the backup for when races come off the turf so that they don't decimate the field sizes with scratches. But they do run a lot of races on it to try to protect their grass course. So, one real quick angle, too, is when I was writing my Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies book, second edition, I did multiple interviews with Michael Dickinson, and I expanded the chapter on Tapita surfaces in my book. And he's really an interesting guy to talk to. He is the originator of Tapita, which has been the most successful synthetic surface, Ralph. And if you listen to him, I know he's got a lot of salesmen in him, but I think he has the best interest in horse racing in mind to keep it safe, something that horses like. And so, I'm going to be in the minority. I don't think it's as bad a decision as people are going to make it out to be.
Well, I think that the safety of the horses are first and foremost from anybody out there that appreciates this great sport of kings. Even from the betting aspect, we want to win races badly, but we don't want to see jockeys or horses hurt. I mean, that's just not part of the, vernacular as far as winning and losing races. And if it's safer for the horses, then we'll have to adapt to it, that's for sure. But it's going to take a little work to do that. It'd be with the handicappers, because, handicappers are they're hard to change. They like the way things are, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, with the but the success as far as the injuries were concerned at Santa Anita, that long meet, and they didn't race any races on Tapita, but they did, close down racing when the track conditions were going to be anything but in fast conditions, that they have an exemplary percentage of safety there at that meet. So maybe between taking a look at what they did there, and Mr. Dickinson's, concoction of synthetic racing, maybe we can get to a lot safer racing, that's for sure, and we'll just have to adjust our handicapping to do so. That's no question about it. All right, time to get some horses.
Yeah, two picks. I had originally picked one at Belterra Park. I got a note back from your folks there that the horse scratched.
Yeah.
So I do have an audible, but I do have a horse at Parks. We'll go with that first pick. Race number 8, it's I like the number 3 horse at Parks, horse called Lord Knows. This is 7.5 furlongs, scheduled for the turf. Paco Lopez rides a lot at Parks when Monmouth is not running, so he gets a full week's worth of work. But Paco, he's the boss at both tracks at Monmouth Parks. So this horse should be finishing well under Mike Deeney. So let's go with the number 3, Lord Knows, in race 8 at Parks. and an audible pick, Ralph, if hopefully they got the graphics I sent in late, is at Presque Isle Downs. We talked about that with the synthetic surface. In race four, it's a mile and 70 yards, optional claimer 30. But William Morey, who has built a very successful stable back east in the mid-Atlantic states, used to be out in Northern California. But he's got the four-horse, Silent Sunday. This horse has been training at Turfway over Tapita, now ships up to Presque Isle Downs, which is also Tapita. So he's got a service advantage. 2-1 in the morning line with Antonio Gallardo in race four.
All right, so we audible to Presque Isle Downs at Presque Isle Downs, fourth race number four. That's easy to remember, fourth race number four at Presque Isle Downs. Remember, their first post time is 12 high noon Pacific time, and this is in the fourth race, the four. And then at Parks Racing with that big carryover in the pick five jackpot in the eighth race, scheduled for the turf, number three, Lord Knows, the three in the eighth race at Parks Racing. Richie, combing the nation to get us a couple of picks today for the race day listeners, that's for sure. All right, Rich, well, we will talk to you tomorrow when we celebrate our independence as a country. Thanks a lot, my man.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All righty. When we come back, we'll share the final segment of our show today with John Lindo. We got a few things to talk about, that's for sure, all those big races coming up this week, and what the Lindo Report will be doing for us as well, what he's going to cover on the Lindo Report, and a few tidbits of information from Southern California. So don't go away. We will be right back.
I'm former Major League pitcher David Wells. Over the years, I've been helping veterans get the medical resources they need and help them overcome their challenges. They've sacrificed so much for our country, and it's our duty to take care of them when they come home. Join us in our mission to end veteran homelessness in America. Please go to T2T.org to donate now.
Hello, I'm Dennis Quaid. For years, Tunnel to Towers has demonstrated a commitment to first responders and military families. They've paid off mortgages and built specially adapted smart homes. Now the foundation is expanding its mission to eradicate veteran homelessness. Please give our veterans a chance to reclaim their dignity by donating at T2T.org.
Southern California Thoroughbred Racing continues at Los Alamitos Racecourse through July 7th. First post is always 1 p.m. Our closing weekend will feature a special holiday racing program on Thursday, the 4th of July. Plus, our meets marquee race, the Great Lady Upstakes, on Saturday, July 6th. We'll also have our on-track handicapping contest. You could win a seat to the NHC in Las Vegas. Plus, we'll add $10,000 to the Pick Six pool on Saturday afternoon if there's not a carryover. It's daytime racing at Los Alamitos.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our seven specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby. South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, handed cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this final segment of our show. And now we're going to go to John Lendo standing by. But before we get to John, I want to just give you some of the action that we're going to have over this weekend. And that's starting, of course, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Belmont at Aqueduct is going to feature the Perfect Sting Stakes and the Victory Ride, a Grade 3. Ellis Park will open its meet with the Dade Park Dash, and Louisiana Downs has the Yellow Hammer. And then as we move through 4th of July, as we move through July 5th, Belmont at Aqueduct will feature the Grade 2 Brooklyn. That's going to be a good race, the Brooklyn, Belmont at Aqueduct. The carryback will be at Gulfstream Park. And then, of course, Indiana, Horseshoe Indianapolis will have a couple of stakes races there. Prairie Meadows is going to have four stakes races that include the Iowa Distaff and the Iowa Sprint. We go to Saturday, July 6th, and there's a whole bevy full of races there. 29 stakes races on Saturday that'll feature at Aqueduct, four stakes races. The Belmont Invitational Derby and the Belmont Invitational Oaks, those are going to be good races. Delaware Park's going to have four stakes races, including the Delaware Oaks there. Then you've got Emerald Downs, Ellis Park, and Evangeline Downs and Gulfstream Park with stakes races. The Horseshoe Indianapolis, the Indiana Derby, will feature Stronghold. You remember that horse in the Kentucky Derby? Phil D'Amato sent Stronghold out in the Indiana Derby. And also the Indiana Oaks on Saturday. Los Alamitos will feature the Great Lady M. This is a Grade 2 stakes race. Prairie Meadows will have the Iowa Derby and Iowa Oaks in the Iowa Derby. Just a Touch, Brad Cox trainee, is one of the featured horses there. He was also on the Triple Crown Trail. In the Cornhusker Handicap for the older handicap horses, you've got Roadrunner, Roadrun 1, Steve Asmussen's horse. And, of course, the Delaware Handicap will be on Sunday with four big stakes races at Delaware Park. So simply put, four stakes races tomorrow, eight on Friday, 29 on Saturday, and another 12 on Sunday. We got a jam-packed stakes races, that's for sure. And I know this man is going to be probably looking at quite a few of those races. John Lendo, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. We're going to be busy, it looks like, and we have mandatory payouts on Sunday, too, with the closure of Belmont at Aqueduct and Los Alamitos.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, tell everybody what the Lendo Report is going to be covering over this 4 days.
We'll do the last 4 days at both Los Alamitos and Belmont at Aqueduct starting tomorrow.
Okay, good enough there, that's for sure. Got some horses that have been recognized in the Triple Crown Trail that are coming back in the derbies there at Indiana and at Iowa, that's for sure. And, of course, our Western trainers went out at Churchill Downs on Sunday to snag a few of those stakes races there.
Yeah, we saw Doug O'Neill win one, Raging Torn, coming off a huge win at the on the Derby undercard. He came back and won. And Phil D'Amato had a private purchase win that the two-year-old stakes race for the fillies out there. And we've seen guys like Peter Miller and Leonard Powell, they're running every once in a while out there too. So more and more of a presence of some of the West Coast trainers out there in the Midwest with those purses and the fields. You know, races are filling out there that don't necessarily fill out here.
Well, I know that Jonathan Ardoon is going to have much to say about Belmont, New York racing, period, going to all synthetic racing surfaces during the winter starting in 2026. When Belmont is complete and its refurbishment is complete and they're back over there. But your thought about strictly synthetic racing. Remember, I got to remind everybody, too, that we had almost that in Southern California several years ago when the California Horse Racing Board demanded that the California tracks go to synthetic racing, except for the fairs. That included, Del Mar, Hollywood Park, and Santa Anita for a while, right?
We did. That was back in 07. They mandated that the tracks put in these synthetic surfaces really without testing it. And, you know, we lived through the guinea pig stages and, you know, my impressions of it, it wasn't great. That's to be honest with you. The poly track that we had down at Del Mar, it would separate in the heat.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't stick together. And in general, you know, there were different types of injuries. There were less fatalities. But you saw a lot of injuries that a horse would be out for 9 months and, you know, that kind of thing. And I've never seen a surface before that, you know, in the paddock when you're saddling, we're spraying the horse's feet with like nonstick cooking spray like Pam so that surface wouldn't stick to the horse's feet when they run. So there were a lot of odd things about it. As far as New York goes, I'll give you some positives and negative, Ralph. As far as the positives, right now, the current product at Aqueduct during the winter is not good. It's only dirt racing, no turf. The field sizes are small. So I understand, you know, why they would want to implement some synthetic racing. I don't know about doing 100%, but you also have a group of horses that may be a new pool to pull from, and that would be the Woodbine horses who have the winter time off. It's not that far from Aqueduct. Or Belmont, excuse me. And then you also have the Presque Isle horses that are racing now. They're off during the winter, so you might be able to pull some of the synthetic horses from there. And also, you know, making the announcement this early, it's not like what happened with Golden Gate saying we're going to shut it down in 6 months. You give the horsemen time now to make adjustments. If they want to stay all dirt, then they can go to a different circuit, set up, you know, moving families and everything else that has to go on. You're giving them the warning with enough time to make a decision and affect that change. So that's the good part. As far as the negative, you wonder about prep races like the Gotham and some of the other races. Are they really going to be true prep races for the Kentucky Derby, which is on dirt, obviously? And my experience with the synthetic tracks, it takes a lot of the brilliance out of horses. You won't see the brilliant speed that you do on dirt. And, you know, it's more of a momentum track. You kind of build momentum and carry it. It's really hard to have that push button acceleration and make those type of moves that kind of define a horse when you want to take a horse to stud. Some of the things they show that might make them special, I don't see that as much on synthetic tracks. So there's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad to this. And I already know that the Micropoli on X has said he will not race during that meet.
Wow.
It's 100% synthetic, and but you have a guy like Mark Cassie who trains up at Woodbine, says he'll be there for sure. So
yeah, he has tremendous success. Cassie does up at Woodbine. As a matter of fact, I think he went 3 races out of all those stakes races over the weekend on synthetic.
Right, he loves that stuff, and he will be there. And I'm sure he'll move some of the horses from Gulfstream Park and stay up in the north there, and then go to Woodbine after that.
Yeah, so there's a pros and cons, and we will wait and see how it shakes out, that's for sure. If you're going to run on a synthetic racetrack, I do believe that it's more conducive to be fair in the wintertime with the cold temperatures rather than in the summertime with the hot temperatures, that's for sure. We talk about Southern California racing after Sunday at Los Alamitos. We're going to go 12 days before we start with Del Mar, so they'll get a chance to kind of reload there. And I see that the Saudi Cup winner, Senor Buscador, is back in training, and he's preparing to run at Del Mar in the San Diego Handicap on the 27th of this month. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right. He might catch Arabian Night on the comeback trail for Bob Baffert in that San Diego. I know the timeline for Senor Buscador is a little bit tight, but it'll be, you know, we're going to get some fresh faces down there, some good ones. And if they run well, then we'll see them in the Pacific Classic.
And one final note to wrap up Southern California racing, trainer Mark Glad, who's been having a great couple of years, really, in Southern California, was voted on the board of the Thoroughbred Owners Association. So that's Thoroughbred Owners in their TOC.
Right, and that's good because he's a horseman. He understands the business from a horseman's standpoint, not only as a trainer but as an owner. And that's a good voice to have when they're trying to, you know, make some decisions that regard the entire racing industry in Southern California.
And we still have to worry about the deficit and the overpayment of some purses, and we'll wait and see how that shakes out as well in Southern California. But nevertheless, we're on our way to a big Independence Holiday 4-day bevy of stakes races and action at the racetracks around the country. And we'll, of course, have Jonathan Hardoon back with us tomorrow, as well as you and Rich Ang, Jerry J's Picks, and, of course, Bob Mazursky over the weekend for Los Alamitos wrap-up. And the Great Lady M is coming up a pretty good race, too.
Yeah, there were 20 nominees we're entering today for the Great Lady M, so we'll know the entries by the time we get on the show tomorrow, Ralph.
Yeah, and Ray Lou Gutierrez is going to ride in Southern California. That'll be interesting, too.
Yeah, he came out for a couple of days last year and kind of snuck in and out, and we'll see how he does. He's already got one tie. You know he's riding for Peter Miller this weekend.
Yeah, good enough, that's for sure. We're just starting our quest on this holiday. Tomorrow we will celebrate 4th of July with you and everybody else. Stay hydrated out there. It's going to be hot. You know it's going to be hot around the country. Please stay hydrated and stay safe. Until tomorrow, when we conduct our 4th of July show. Say it, John.
Have a great race day, everybody.
Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at kshp.gov.
Byline USA News. I'm Alex Dorfler.
And I'm Ben Murphy. As expected in the NHL draft, the San Jose Sharks selected the projected first overall pick, Max Celebrini, who was a standout freshman at Boston University. Celebrini recorded 64 points in 38 games in his first year at BU. He recently just turned 18 and is the youngest player in NCAA Division I hockey this year, and also the youngest player ever to take home the Hobie Baker Award, which is presented to the best college hockey player in the nation. The rest of the top five included Artem Levchinov, defenseman from Michigan State to the Chicago Blackhawks. Beckett Seneca went third to the Anaheim Ducks. The Columbus Blue Jackets selected Caden Lindstrom, a center, with the 4th pick. The Montreal Canadiens selected Ivan Demidov.